following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. It is Thursday, September 7th. We want to welcome to tonight's broadcast. This is End Time Headlines news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, if this is your first time joining us, do me a favor in the comment section below under Rumble, under YouTube, under Facebook, or whatever platform you're watching this, if you're able to comment, let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. And as always, we want to encourage you to hit that like button, that subscribe button, hit that little bell notification. This pushes our content out there on whatever platforms you may be watching so that it can be noticed, it can be seen. So I would greatly appreciate you do that. And also, if you've not downloaded our free app, it is available at your Play Store, depending on what device you have, app or Android. Get it today. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, just go to the Play Store, look for our official ETH logo, type in End Time Headlines. You're going to see that. Once you download the app, hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go on every headline, every podcast readily available. So tonight, I want to talk about how we could be heading into dangerous waters. We could be headed into a treacherous season. What am I talking about? I'm talking about there's so many major events that are transpiring together. They are emerging together at one time that it literally, and maybe I'm the only one that feels like this, but I suspect I'm not, but it literally feels like we are on the very breach or the very climax of all these things coming together and bringing great difficulty, not just to the West, but the entire globe, the entire planet. We would call these major birth pangs, but it's almost as if I were to describe this in a picture, it would be almost like we've been riding this bumpy roller coaster up and down and up and down, and now we're going up, 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 and up to that very climatical high point of the roller coaster where you just keep looking up and it just like it never stops. It just keeps going up and up and up, and you're at the very top, and it's like you almost inevitably know that things are about to go down. We're about to spiral down, and it's about to get real bumpy. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to show you a series of events, reports, and everything that is going to pick the paint the and give you a depiction of the big picture of what we're talking about here tonight. All right, to kick things off here, this is an article from Prophecy News Watch, Agenda 2030. We've discussed this in podcasts before and other segments. Online deepfakes may accelerate global identification for internet access. So what is this all about? Deepfake videos have the power to deceive and manipulate the masses, especially in a world where videos can go viral within seconds. What was once a complex and time-consuming process reserved for skilled individuals is now within the reach of virtually anyone, thanks to powerful software and machine learning algorithms that are creating convincing deepfakes that have now become alarmingly effortless. According to the report, these fake videos of celebrities prompting phony services have begun to gain traction on social media and platforms like Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And even last week, NBC News viewed more than 50 videos posted to those sites that featured computer-manipulated images and audio of well-known individuals, all of which appeared to have been created in the efforts to scam viewers out of money. Many of them, even of the likes of Elon Musk, with manipulated videos of several news and television personalities, including CBS News anchor Gayle King, former news host Tucker Carlson, and even HBO host Bill Maher. All of these falsely claiming Musk had invented a technology advanced investment platform. Most of the videos continue with a similarity deep faked version of Musk, who encouraged viewers to invest their money in this non-existent platform. Musk, who's the owner of formerly known as Twitter, which is now X, has promoted some cryptocurrencies in the past, leading to his becoming extremely popular with scammers who used his image for their own gain. Now, many of these videos had tens of thousands of views, showing how quickly such videos can spread. And some experts, here we go. We knew what this is, where this was going, right? Some experts, listen to this, are warning that the first deep fake election will arrive next year in 2024. Let me say that again. I'm sure none of you saw that coming, right? That they're warning these experts. Who are these experts? Don't even ask. That's above our pay grade. But these are the experts. And they are warning that next year, 2024 election, we could see our first, quote, deep fake election, when a substantial number of voters will see political disinformation videos online. That's funny. We've never heard that term, right? And not be able to tell which ones are real and which ones are not. Well, hold on now. I thought our experts have been working feverishly behind the scenes to ensure us that we have a safe election. I mean, after all, didn't they run a fine-tooth comb through every major social media platform, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of these? I mean, that's what we were told, right? But it may be only a matter of time until a deep fake goes viral to the degree that it causes a, quote, national crisis, such as a political hit job. I'm not going to use the term they used here. It starts with an A, but a political hit job on a political candidate or other dramatic news event that would destabilize our society. The author says that this could be the triggering event to bring about new rules for the internet, including, here it comes, a digital identification system. Now, of course, this is nothing new. In some countries, a digital identification has already been implemented for government services and online banking. However, with the expansion of the use of digital IDs to cover all online activities, this would be a significant step towards a global ID for every individual on the planet. No ID means no access, and it would change the entire nature of identification and verification. No identification means no access, and it would change the entire nature of identification and verification systems worldwide. Think about it. Kind of gives you a little bit of a sense of Revelation 13 a little bit, don't it? Now, of course, the average sheeple will see nothing wrong with this, and the lemmings will line up, and they already have, to get this, because they see this as sensible. They see this and view this as something that's safe and for the better of our planet. However, the threat to personal freedoms and potential for abuse by government is vast. In the same way that digital currency provides authorities the ability to track and record every online financial transaction you make, digital identification, listen to this, church, will provide the same for every click you make online. Now, we have to ask ourselves here today, do we really want the government to have this type of power over us? Now, all this information comes on the heels of the 25th of August. There was a new law that was just implemented in place called the Digital Service Act. We talked about this a little bit on a previous podcast. This went into effect again on August 25th in the European Union. Under this new law, the European bureaucrats will be given the power and the authority to order, and I said order, big tech companies to censor any and all content that is considered to, quote, be illegal and disinformation or hate speech. And to ensure that they are able to do this and to carry this out, they are implementing, and you, here it comes, we knew this was coming, right? Artificial intelligence that will help come along with them and aid them into again, combating illegal disinformation and hate speech across the globe when it comes to the internet. Listen, the ability of governments around the world to control what we see and do not see online, this would make Facebook censorship over community standards pale in comparison. Any information, any content that is deemed to be hate or misinformation will be blocked. And as a conservatives, as many conservatives have learned, it is often traditional biblical views that are branded as this. And we're going to talk more about this on today's segment because I have another report I want to read to you that falls right into this category. Now you say, well, how does this fall into this Agenda 2030? Listen, there has been many technologies that has already talked about maintaining a digital ID system and even chip implants. Remember, again, this is why I want to encourage you guys, if you've not downloaded our free app, please get it, because we cover a lot of these segments on, they're archived on our podcast, on here on YouTube, on our app. So that we cover a lot of these things. And when you listen to our content and you watch these things on a regular weekly basis, you're already one step ahead. So you can kind of, I don't have to reiterate things as much as I do because we're all on the same base. But I understand we have many new viewers that come on and people that may have missed those segments. So this is why a lot of times we revisit these things. But listen, the whole implantable chip thing, this has already been in the works for a long time. And what this means is you can scan a chip, which is, again, your identification can be put in this chip. And this can be done over an internet-enabled device. This will give you access. It's even been suggested that such chips could not only be used as a form of biometric identification, but also that it can incorporate a digital wallet and health records. So you've got all this information that can be stored on one implantable device in your hand. Now, again, for those who know biblical prophecy, we have warned that eventually society has got to get to a point where it will be gladly embraced and accepted to put something in your right hand or in your forehead that will control buying, selling, and trading. All right, so you got all this crazy stuff going on. That stuff is happening. It's accelerating. Okay? And now we're being warned to brace ourselves and prepare for a, quote, super pandemic. Listen, the last pandemic turned our society completely upside down. It caused the disruption to our economic sectors, our social sectors, our education sectors. It caused great levels of suicide, depression. It caused small business to completely collapse. And it wasn't just a want that did this, but there was also other pestilences that has wreaked havoc. For example, the monkeypox, this outbreak continues to cause excruciating, painful skin sores all over the planet. Then there's the global bird flu pandemic that's already wiped out over 100 million chickens and turkeys in the U.S. and Europe. And now, apparently, Google's AI chief has come out with a new warning. According to multiple reports, multiple outlets reported this, the AI chief is warning that, quote, the deadliest pandemics, plural tense, not singular, the deadliest pandemics ever. Think about that. Ever? Worse than any of the pandemics in history. Worse than the Asian flu. Worse than the 1918 flu. All these flus. Again, this AI chief is warning that the deadliest pandemics ever are on the horizon with the help of genetic engineering. Well, let's just see what this guy has to say. One of the biggest threats facing the planet is a super pandemic This is according to co-founder of Google DeepMind AI technology. Mustafa Soliman is the billionaire co-founder of the computer giant's DeepMind, but warns it's not robots that pose the most danger to mankind. He claims the ability to cook up a deadly pandemic at home is likely to become commonplace before the end of this decade. Oh, gee, you mean like a unknown, undisclosed building or laboratory that it housed so many biological agents that they called it a house of horrors? You know, like the one in California that the government and the CIA and the FBI and all them said, hey, there's no need to worry. It's no threat. Nothing to see here, folks. Let's move on. But this guy, who is, again, a AI chief, whatever that means, is warning that the next deadly pandemic can be created in a facility, a building, a laboratory. Mustafa went on to say that in the next 5 years or so, a kid in Russia, now, again, this is a hypothesis he's painting here, could download the instruction set for a pandemic that's more lethal than anything we've ever encountered so far. He went on during a recent podcast and said, quote, that's where we need containment. We have to limit access to the tools and the know-how to carry out that kind of experimentation. We really are experimenting with dangerous materials. Anthrax is not something that can be bought over the internet that can be freely experimented with. The very best of these tools in a few years' times are going to be capable of creating new synthetic pandemic pathogens. And so we have to restrict access to those things. Yeah, like they restricted access to all of the biological agents that were, again, discovered in California, right? How's that going for you? How well is that going for you? How well is it going for these Chinese nationals, over 100 of them that reportedly crossed over into the border? I mean, you know, they're just slipping right under the radar. But hey, everyone sleep well tonight, because our great government and everything is going to keep us safe. He went on to say, discussing the future of genetic engineering, he warned that, quote, I think the darkest scenario there is that people will experiment with synthetic pathogens that might end up accidentally or intentionally being more transmissible. They can spread even faster or be more lethal. He went on to say that advanced AI technology is getting cheaper and easier to obtain at an alarming rate thanks to the tech being made open. What he means by that is he said that, quote, it means anyone can get their hands on the technology and use it to help them cheat on their exams or even cook up some type of virus that could paralyze the world. Mustafa went on to say there needs to be an international treaty, which it would include America's perceived enemies such as Russia and China, that needs to be agreed to limit the use of advanced AI and genetic manipulation. Yeah, good luck with that, because we're about to show you something on this program. You think these scientists and these people that are cooking this stuff up in this laboratory care about that stuff? You think they're really thinking about all these ramifications? For example, look at this article. This is from the BBC News. Scientists, and I quote, have now grown an entire model of a human embryo without sperm or egg. Now, when you read the actual article, it's even more creepy, guys. Look at this. Scientists have grown an entity. Yes, an entity. By definition, is a thing with distinct and independent existence. Again, scientists have now grown. They grew this thing, this entity, in a laboratory. And according to the report, it closely resembles an early human embryo. It's not human of origin. It's been grown in a lab. It's an entity. But it resembles an early human embryo. They did this without the use of sperm, eggs, or a womb. According to the Weizmann Institute team, They said that their, quote, embryo model made using stem cells looks like a textbook example of a real-life 14-day-old human embryo. Is this not the scariest thing that you have read on the internet in some time? This is straight out of, and we, again, we've talked about this on other programs, this is straight out of the days of Noah. This is what is, it talks about this stuff in the book of Jasher, which is an historical book that's mentioned in the Bible. And this book talks about how in the days of Noah, the corruption that was going on in the earth in those days, they were taking and they were the species of one thing and another, and they were mingling it. They were performing experiments, and God looked upon it and called it wicked and called it an abomination. Oh, but before we all get bent out of shape, the ambition for embryo models is to provide an ethical way of understanding the earliest moments of our lives. I don't need to know all that. Listen, God said, the word of God says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. You were wonderfully and fashionably made and created in the womb. That's all I need to know. I don't need all this. Stop trying to play God. Stop trying to create a Hadron collider in Switzerland and firing this thing up and trying to fuse atoms together and trying to recreate the Big Bang Theory. Quit trying to create humans without the use of what God instilled and installed and put in place in his natural order. Stop playing God, because the consequences of this are not good. According to these scientists, they want to find the first, they want to discover the first weeks after sperm fertilizes an egg, and there's a period of dramatic change from a collection of instinct cells to something that eventually becomes recognizable on a baby scan. This crucial time is a major source of miscarriage and birth defects, but poorly understood. According to Weizmann Institute of Science, that, quote, a Jacob Hanna from this institution, this is a professor, said, quote, it's a black box, and that's not a cliche. Our knowledge is very limited. Yes, there's a reason for that. We're not meant to know everything. The report indicates that this research, which was published in the journal Nature, is described by the Israeli team as the first complete embryo model for mimicking all the key structures that emerge in the early embryo. Quote, this is really a textbook image of a human day 14 embryo, according to Professor Hanna, which has not ever been done before. So again, remember what I said at the beginning of this program. We are crossing, I'm going to use a different term here. We're crossing the Rubicon. We're crossing a threshold that we need not to cross. We are climaxing events that is going to lead us on a downward spiral of destruction, calamity, and catastrophic consequences. Okay, and since we're in this same genre, we're talking about pestilences and we're talking about plagues, you do know, and we've talked about this as well, that there is much chatter now that this winter, this fall and this winter, we're going to see the return of wah-wah, and guess who's back in the spotlight again? You guessed it, Mr. Science himself, Dr. Fauci. And this guy's back out here again, and he is concerned. Dr. Fauci's concerned. Ready? What's he concerned about? He's concerned that people will refuse to mask up again as wah-wah cases, hospitalizations, and deaths continue to rise in the U.S. All right, check it out. Here's a little more on that.
And a new variant called BA286, some 3.5 years since the pandemic was first identified. But if public health officials feel it necessary to ask America to mask up again, how many would comply? The Drudge Report led its website this morning with the headline, "Not Again, Mask Up in New York." Lead story at CBS News this morning, COVID hospitalizations on the rise as U.S. enters Labor Day weekend. The past several weeks have seen reports from all over the country of a rise in cases. And yes, the CDC reports COVID-19 hospital admissions are up more than 19% in the most recent week. In a few school districts, this has even led to canceled classes and sporting events. A handful of companies and schools have responded to outbreaks on their premises by reinstating mask mandates. Among them, several hospital systems, including Kaiser Permanente in Northern California, Morris Brown College in Atlanta, Dillard University in Louisiana, Lionsgate Film Studio in Santa Monica. But so far, those have been the few exceptions. And this graph shows how the current rise in hospitalizations compares to past surges, less than half the numbers this time last year and still lower than they've been for about 80% of the pandemic. But if things get worse, it may be hard to get people to revert to an abundance of caution. According to Gallup, in the first 2 years, public confidence in the U.S. healthcare system has dropped from 44% to 34%. And Donald Trump took to Truth Social to again make the issue political, accusing the latest outbreak to be hype designed to impact the 2024 election.
But to every COVID tyrant who wants to take away our freedom, hear these words: we will not comply. So don't even think about it. We will not shut down our schools. We will not accept your lockdowns. We will not abide by your mask mandates. And we will not tolerate your vaccine mandates.
Joining me now to discuss is Dr. Anthony Fauci. He, of course, is the former director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Dr. Fauci, nice to have you back. How worried are you that people will not follow advice to wear masks if we get to that?
Well, Michael, that's a very good question. As you said, if we get to that, I mean, we're starting to see a surge of cases, as you mentioned, about an 18 or 19% increase in hospitalizations, certainly going in the wrong direction with looks like a late summer and into the fall surge. How bad it's going to get, we don't know. As you know, this is a very unpredictable virus. It's shown us that over the last 3.5 years. I am concerned that people will not abide by recommendations. And we're not talking about mandates or forcing anybody, but when you have a situation where the volume of cases in society gets to a reasonably high level, particularly the vulnerable, those who are elderly and those with underlying conditions, are going to be more susceptible and vulnerable if they do get infected to get severe disease leading to hospitalization. We know that. That's a fact. We've seen that. So I would hope that if, in fact, we get to the point where the volume of cases is such and organizations like the CDC recommend, CDC doesn't mandate anything, I mean, recommends that people wear masks, I would hope that they abide by the recommendation and take into account the risk to themselves and to their families. And again, we're not talking about forcing anybody to do anything.
I like how these guys keep saying, well, we're not talking about mandating or forcing, and as if they never did that before. That's the way they act. They act like this is some alien, assumptions that we're coming up with here that we have never, that they've never done this in the past. We have a good memory. And I distinctly remember that we could not go anywhere because it was mandated. You either put on a mask or you don't come in. There, people were thrown off planes. People were thrown out of restaurants. People lost jobs. All kinds of stuff. I'm not talking about the ouchie. I'm talking about the mask mandates. These people are it's unbelievable.
Totally understood. There is a perception out there by many, how many I don't know, that they don't work and that the data concludes that they didn't work in the first go round. Respond to that on masks.
Yeah, well, that's not so. I mean, when you're talking about at the population level, that the data are less strong than knowing that if you look on a situation as an individual protecting themselves or protecting them from spreading it, there's no doubt that masks work. Different studies give different percentages of advantage of wearing it, but there's...
Okay, now, how many times have they flipped and flopped on that? When this thing come out, wear them, don't wear them, wear them, don't wear them, wearing two of them, wear 10 of them, wear 12 of them, don't wear them. And then they wonder why the American people have no trust in these organizations or these individuals. Okay, so I'm done with this. I don't really want to hear much more about this. I'm sure you guys are as well. But again, we just want you to be aware of what's coming down the pike. And let me say this, what could happen? Because after all, according to Fauci, this is unpredictable. Then you got this story. This also, again, reported by Prophecy News Watch. This has terrifying ramifications here. Let me give you the headline. Bible trial verdict could determine if posting Bible verses online is a crime. What in the world are we talking about? Here's more on this story right here.
I want to welcome you back. It's been a while since we last spoke. You know, the issue that you're dealing with, the legal issue in Finland, is really unimaginable to a lot of people across the world, but in particular here in America, where we have a First Amendment and we do have legal battles that unfold. But a battle like yours is very foreign to us. Now, I want to get into this. You had already won your court case. It's been appealed. And for those who don't know, this really hinges on three different accusations against you. And I want you to explain them to us. But the first one, and correct me if I'm wrong, was that you posted a Bible verse to your Twitter account that landed you in the crosshairs, correct?
Yes, that is correct. It is. It was 4 years ago in June 2019. When I posted a Twitter post and also to Facebook. And it was about the Pride event that was going on and that the main church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church, decided to support it officially. And it was a shock to me and as a member of that church. And I posted a Twitter update where I asked the leadership of my church that how is it possible that you are supporting something as a matter of pride, what the Bible calls shame and sin. And I also added their...
Listen to that. Think about that. So this church who she confided in, trusted in, has now condemned her for speaking out against something that the Bible calls an abomination, but yet they affirm it. Well, tell me we're not in the days of Lot. Well, tell me we're not in the end times right there and the apostasy at hand. Again, we got another article we're going to show you after this, and it correlates right with this to show you the times that we're in.
Photo from the Bible, from the book of Romans, where Apostle Paul teaches about the same-sex relationships. And so some citizen made a criminal complaint about this Twitter update.
Of course they did.
And then police started to investigate the case. And after it came into public, then there became more and more criminal complaints about one radio program, and then there was an old pamphlet I had written already 2004 about marital and sexual issues. And then the prosecutor decided to file up the charges. I was first interrogated by the police altogether 13 hours.
Interrogated by police for 13 hours over a social media post, posting with scripture. Now think about everything we talked about at the beginning of this program. Think about this is happening now. What's it going to be like when these international global internet laws are put into place? I'm telling you, every one of us who stand on the word of God and we make this publicly known, we're going to be in her seat. You individuals, you that are in careers, depending on what your career is, your careers will be at jeopardy. Your reputation will be at jeopardy. Your freedoms will be at jeopardy. There will be fines. There will be imprisonments. This stuff is coming globally. Not just Finland, not just out in France, not just overseas in some Middle Eastern country. This is coming, not just Canada, it's coming to the whole world. And that's why we're warning about this. This is what we're talking about. We are reaching that climax, friends. Things are about to get very treacherous. They already are, but I'm telling you, we're getting ready to cross into uncharted waters.
And I have to say that the situation was really absurd, because just some years ago, I was a minister of interior in charge of police. And then I was sitting at the police station, the Bible was on the table, and the police asked me about the biblical issues, about what is the meaning of the book of Romans, and what do you mean that by the word of sin, and so on.
Wow, think about that opportunity to preach the gospel right there. Unashamedly preach the gospel when the Bible is open up and they're asking, what does this mean? And she's openly preaching the gospel there. And, you know, we read about these things in the book of Acts, how they preach the gospel unashamedly with courage. And they were imprisoned for it. They were persecuted for it. We've read about these things, but now we're seeing these things come to fruition in our generation.
So, and then we had the trial last year, and I got acquittal of all these three charges. It was an unanimous three judges. And
good.
But in Finland, we have the system that the prosecutor is able to prosecute, to appeal to higher level of justice. And now the prosecutor has appealed, and I'm waiting for the trial in appeal court. So this is shortly all the process.
So, you know, and we've had you on to describe this story, and I think a lot of people, when they hear it, they're very startled, obviously. You mentioned you are previously Finland's interior minister. You're a member of parliament. You are a well-respected person in your country and a politician and somebody who is well-known. And so you were brought in, you're interrogated. And the accusation, agitation against a minority, what exactly are they accusing you of? Because you mentioned the criminal complaints. And again, this is a tweet, a pamphlet you wrote. In America, these would all fall under the First Amendment freedoms that you would have here in America if you were here. And then the third charge concerned your views about...
Yeah, I don't think those are going to keep us safe for much longer, because we're, again, what's happening? Look what just happened in Wisconsin and other places here in America where people are being arrested for preaching against, again, what the Bible calls sin. So again, just because we have a constitution and amendment and all this stuff, it doesn't mean anything. Those, I'm telling you, this stuff is going out the window. Times are at hand.
Jesus, that you expressed in a radio interview, as you said, in 2019. What are you guilty of in their view?
Oh, they are accusing me of inciting against minority, against sexual minorities. And
think about that, inciting against minorities. Again, this is unbelievable. But yet these people in these parades can parade around in the streets completely nude, exposing everything to children, in the presence of children, but no charges against them. You can't say anything about that. You can't complain about that. If you say anything, complain anything, you're the bad guy and they're the good guy. This is exactly what Isaiah said. The days would be here when the days would come when men would call evil good and good evil.
Finnish legislation, it goes to the serious war crimes. And that's why it is just a prosecutor general who is accusing me, and the maximum punishment is 2 years jail.
Wow.
or fine. But of course, in Finland we have in our constitution we have the freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why I had a victory. I had a good result from
unanimous from, a unanimous victory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm expecting a good result also from higher courts. But I have to say that this process in itself, it is like a punishment, because it has a chilling effect. for example, Christians, Bible-believing Christians. And I think that the prosecutor is using me like a warning sign to other people that wouldn't use their constitutional rights to speak and express their faith and beliefs.
Wow, listen to that warning right there. That's chilling in itself.
And that's why this is so dangerous. And I'm that's why so happy that I get also international support for this case, because I think that it is so important now to fight for these freedoms in Finland. And also in Europe, they are following this, because in other European countries, they have mostly similar legislations, agitation against minorities. So if I would be convicted, it would have consequences around the Europe, because the LGBT advocates, they are so active and aggressive, and they have very strong networks, and they are also on the background of this case. So it would have effects to other European countries. And that's why I think that it is so important now to fight and to defend these freedoms.
Do you have any fears, right? You believe that there's going to be a positive, you know, conclusion here. You are a Christian, a strong person of faith. But do you have fears that creep into your mind of what could happen if you are found guilty?
Oh, I think that it would be quite dangerous, because in fact, even the police, when he investigated the case, he said that if I would be convicted, then the Bibles also should be banned, because what I have said, it is in the Bible, and it would be crazy. It would be it would start persecutions in Finland.
I was going to mention Matthew Grish out in Malta. You know, he's facing a very different circumstance, but he shared his, you know, story of leaving the LGBTQ lifestyle and becoming a Christian on a media outlet, and he's up on charges right now. And that's a different country, obviously, Malta. You have people in the UK, at least one person praying silently in her head inside of a buffer zone outside of an abortion clinic, who was arrested twice now. So this, as you're saying, is a major issue. I think a lot of people in America are watching what is happening in Europe and thinking, when is this coming here? Or is this even here already? You know, there's a lot really to unpack here. What is your message to Christians who, because you said something very important, that this has a chilling effect, to Christians who are watching what happened to you and what you're going through 4 years now in this legal battle, and they are afraid to speak up now because of that? What would you say to them?
At first, I would say that now it is time to use these rights to speak and to express your beliefs. Because the more we are silent about difficult issues or controversial issues of today, the narrower becomes the space for these freedoms. And also, I would warn about very vague legislations. When we speak about hate speech, nobody in Europe can express or tell accurately that what it is about. And that's why I think that the legislation should be very clear that what is legal and what is illegal. And nowadays, it is in Finland, it is not clear.
All right, guys. So again, that is very chilling indeed. And you know what's even more, what is even a more sad indictment, is that the one thing that stood out to me is the church didn't even the church came against her. They're one of the ones that spoke. They're one of the ones that persecuted her for standing on the Bible. Unbelievable. But look at this. According to a new survey, now again, this is in England, most of the Church of England priests in the Church of England now support gay marriage. So again, this confirms exactly what the Bible says. First Timothy chapter 4. In the latter days, the Spirit says expressively that many shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And look, I can't help, as a father of two, a 15-year-old, 8-year-old, I'm always consistently thinking about the next generation. I'm thinking about my children, about the planet that they're going to live on. If the Lord tarries, listen to me, if the Lord tarries, and they're here and we go on to be with the Lord, what are they going to be facing? What does it look like? There is so many things that they're facing. For example, here's a headline from the Daily Mail. The doctors are warning that the United States is barreling towards the same fertility crisis as Japan, where 1 in 10 men in their 30s are virgins and a third of women will be childless. In other words, this report's saying that we are facing a fertility crisis. The number of babies being born is dropping and plummeting dramatically. Now, look, I could go into many reasons why I believe this is happening, and half of these, if I spoke about these, would get us completely censored and shut down, so we wouldn't even get this program. I will say this: I believe the ouchy ouch is absolutely responsible for a lot of this. Also, listen, you don't think things like this is responsible? Over 3,600 12 to 18 year olds have underwent sex change surgeries from the years 2016 to 2020, and it's only growing. We have an entire generation that is an identity crisis because society has tried to conform them to something that it tells them to be and manipulates them, from the education system to the entertainment system to all these different systems in the world that make up of our culture. And then we go into the church, and as pastors continue to age and they go on to be with the Lord, our mentors, our spiritual fathers, the generals, they're all going on to be with the Lord. And now a majority of them are struggling to find mature young Christians to pass the baton to. Now, this is a topic of conversation that I've been engaged in private circles for a long time. Have you ever, listen, you know how many churches I've went to where the majority of the makeup of the church is the elderly and there's no young people in it? So watch this. When all the young, when the elderly people all die and they go on to be with the Lord, the church will cease to operate because there's no one there to pass the baton to. There's no one emerging up to run with the vision, to take the mantle and carry it on. This is very sad, and we're seeing this all across the board. There's many churches that once the people die, that's it. They shut the doors because they are not pouring out into the next generation. It is absolutely imperative that we pour out to the next generation, that we raise up the next generation, that we're ready to pass the mantle down, pass the baton down, whatever verbiage, whatever language you want to use. We have to raise up the sons and daughters, come on, to prophesy, raise them up and train them up to continue to preach the gospel, the Joel 2:28 generation. So I had a couple more stories I wanted to talk about, but I'm going to push them out, and we'll incorporate them in some other segments. I probably won't do it tomorrow on tomorrow's segment because I got something lined up I want to talk about for Friday to close out this week of podcasting. But listen, we've shown you so many, all these stories and these headlines and these events again that are climaxing. We're reaching a climax to where we are entering into uncharted territory. And I'm telling you, as a church, we better hunker down. We better get in our prayer closets. We better be ready to intercede. The watchmen, more than ever, need to rise up and to be able to inform the church of where we are headed and warn them, blast that trumpet, sound that alarm, and keep us informed of the times and seasons which we're in. Because remember, Jesus said in Luke 21:28, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is surely drawing near. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our website that you can bookmark. Again, download our free app available on Apple and Android devices. Go to your store, depending on your device. Get it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. We appreciate you coming on tonight for this program. Don't forget to hit that like button, share button, push notification. It's going to push this out to the algorithm on whatever platform you may be watching and listening from, so we can get our content out there. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. If this ministry is a source of continual information, revelation, equipping, and encouraging to you on a week-to-week basis, don't forget to pray about becoming a monthly partner. Again, we sell no products, no materials, no books, no CDs, no DVDs. Our app is absolutely free. Everything is free. We preach the gospel. We sow the seed. We warn the masses. We ask that if you agree with what we're doing, if you stand by and support our vision of our ministry, we want to give you an opportunity to do that by sowing a seed or partnering with us. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically, multiple different ways. You can give by PayPal. You can give by credit card. You can give by cash app, Venmo, different ways that you can give. You can give by check or money order by making it out to the screen right there in front of you at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So as always, guys, thank you so much for your prayers, your support, and your partnership of our ministry. We're going to sign off for this Thursday night, September 7th. We will be back here tomorrow night on the 8th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to have a great message for you then. So until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.